prediction. In the year 2054, a small Malaysian pine oil conglomerate named Unitata will purchase 33% of all listed Coca-Cola shares, thereby becoming the dominant shareholder and taking control of the Atlanta-based company. Prediction.
Vernon from The Sailors, welcome to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ in Brisbane. How are you?
Well, thank you, John. Very good, thank you.
Our mutual friend, Philippa, was hosting at the Cobra Bar upstairs at the Tote Hotel at Collingwood on the 20th of September when The Sailors were launching their new album, Turning the Other Cheek, downstairs. Big event?
Yes. Well, she was there and she still hadn't seen us. She hadn't seen us for a few months after that. That was a big event, the Sailors record launch. We put on a bit of a show. The show had changed a little bit by that stage, and we had started to develop the stage as a paperless office. Well, as the as an office would desire to be, and it was actually surrounded basically by photocopy machines and fax machines and the like, and it was the Holocaust type ending where the paperless office actually was created by the destruction of the paper office, I suppose.
Right. Of course, this is tying in with the last track of the CD.
That's right, yeah.
Whatever happened to the paperless office.
Exactly.
And it's good to see that the Sailors have political satire, that comment included there.
Well, it's all in there.
Huh? Because the album, it's not all fun, hey, and it's not all seriousness by any means.
Some people could say we're one-track minded, but I think if you listen a little bit, you'll probably realise that the rumours are pretty well true. But there is the occasional, yeah, like you said, the moment where we get a little bit tired of the same old thing, and a few other things that are creeping there, I suppose. Yeah, the paperless office is a prelude pretty well to Love Over the Internet and a number of other songs which are currently in the works.
Excellent. So this is really, it's the start of the Sailors becoming an Australia-wide phenomenon, hopefully.
Yeah, possibly, but we still do resort to old tactics, such as songs like I Met a She-Male Over the Email.
Very good. So the Sailors must be big fans of the Cramps, bands with pluralistic attitudes to gender.
Hey. Yeah, not many people say the Cramps, but I would have thought they'd be the most obvious sort of band which we could be compared to, musically and lyrically. But yeah, I mean, definitely that band is one of our favourites on a collective basis, yeah.
Yep. And when you get the front page of a paper, like it's the local Melbourne Street Press in press, and the front page has got the photo of the Sailors, but with the line, Pirates of Men's Pants. Was that a line that you thought of yourselves?
I actually met the creator of that line last Saturday night, who very proudly announced the fact to me.
Good.
We aren't, but our version was the Swashbuckling Faggots, which was originally titled The Pirates of Penis. But, I mean, hell, I don't know which one's more clever.
I like Pirates of Men's Pants. I've never seen Pirates of Penzance, but I know where it came from. But
John English does cut a striking figure, doesn't he?
Lovely. I met John English in the Valley here one day.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to cross the street from the Valley Mall to Westpac, and I glanced to the right of me and I just said, oh, g'day, John, assuming that the recognisable face beside me was someone I must know because I knew his name straight away, and then I realised that I don't know John English personally. And
he springs up in all kinds of places.
Hmm.
I tend to recall bumping into him into an op shop in Merimbula. And he's a very instantly recognisable type of chap, really, isn't he?
Yes.
If only he had the bandana on more often.
And he's a friendly man, too.
Yeah, he is. Yes. So he was okay, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
just wanted to be told how to get to the city. And I told him the truth, rather than send him down into the darker places of the valley.
Those places do exist in there, don't they?
They do.
It's been a while since I've been there.
Right, so, and you've played in Brisbane as the Sailors?
No, the Sailors never made it to Brisbane. We struggled to make it to Sydney the other week. Mm. I've been there a few times, but not in the company of the other three.
Okay. How do you think Brisbane, do you reckon would be likely to take the Sailors, considering that the majority of what they play is really straightforward, man-to-man, man-attracted-to-man style music?
Well, I guess I don't know Brisbane on, you know, on the kind of intimate level, which you seem to be referring to.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen some of the seedier side of things, and yeah, I remember a few experiences that I had there. But yeah, well, I think Brisbane's a mixture of people, as I understand it, and there's both that side of things, but there's also the the immigrants from Bundaberg and places like that as well. So
yep.
We've only had positive experiences with the Bundaberg type people, I suppose, a few violent types. But on the other side of things, then I don't see how it could be anything but a positive kind of experience.
Yeah, yep. There's nothing you say that actually threatens anybody or threatens their values, is there?
You asking me to say yes. I don't think I could say that.
No, well, to start off with the first track from the album, YCMA, playing a bit on YMCA, the Village People, but drastically different song. Your Cock's My Ass being what the acronym stands for. And yeah, that immediately lets people know that, in the first place, you wouldn't bother pretending that there's a bit of homosexuality going on in the band with a song like that, would you? And it lets the audience then know, okay, well, I'm either going to turn it off now or I'm going to listen to the next 37 minutes and enjoy it.
That's a fairly abrupt beginning, but it kind of suits the album.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, lyrically, hell, it's certainly not breaking any new boundaries of philosophy, but it does, yeah, I guess it does state a certain, perhaps even innocence. From the Sailors, Hello, you beautiful people out there listening to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ.
Prediction. In the year 2009, after three massive class action suits against the Church of Scientology, John Travolta tries to raise funds for the cash-strapped organization by producing a sequel to Battlefield Earth. The movie is a critical and financial flop, prompting 5 out of 6 critics to beg the question, why did he even bother making the original? Prediction.
There are beautiful songs on the album too, like there's the lovely country ballad on there as well, of Jesus Loves Me. Most people would be tapping their toes to that.
Yeah, well, Hector's grandmother thinks that sounds like Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
They say that love don't come easy, and this woman I know, she's the only thing I love in this earthly abode. And though we first met in a house of ill repute, from the start I was thinking about this thing that I knew. And that was Jesus loves heck, he loves John and Sue, he loves dogs and cats and trees, he loves flowers too, he loves stars and planets and moons. Jesus loves me, baby, so why can't you? Well, on my fourth visit, I thought I ought to say how much you meant to me. While I fixed up the page, you turned around and looked me in the eye and said you never ever loved me. Started to cry. I said that Jesus loves Vic, he loves burning heck, he loves dogs and cats and trees, flowers too, he loves stars and planets and moons. Jesus loves me, baby, why can't you? Come on, Hector. Come with my problems, I sought God's blessing. I went to see a priest for a weekly confession. As I knelt down and prayed, the priest did speak. He said she turned me down to just the other week. He said that Jesus loves John, he loves Bob and Sue, he loves dogs and cats and trees, flowers too, he loves stars, he loves Muslims and Jews. Jesus loves me, baby. Jesus loves me, baby. Why can't you?
People who wanted to be offended would probably go straight to Young Faggot from China to see if that was going to upset them.
Do you think that's offensive?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's an appalling song on every front. And it's about the only time we've ever played it and actually sounded good. But it made it on there. And there's nothing like the odd limerick or two, is there? I think we can all relate to the occasional limerick, but
yep.
Nothing like a bit of dirtiness in there as well.
Mm.
But my favourite is the Young Faggot. And I mean, there's a cast of characters in that song. Well, only three, really. Mm. But the Young Faggot is my favourite one.
From China, whose ass was a male vagina, and he loved to be kissed or taken a fist. Oh, that lovely young faggot from China. Mm-hmm.
ever taken a girl from Geneva. I'm telling you, she had the world's greatest beaver. But she stopped working, my gherkin, and I was so sad I had to leave her. Girl from Korea, whose boyfriend gave her gonorrhea. She said her job she quit. Said, you dirty prick, now you're gonna ruin my career. You know that lovely young girl from Korea? No, I'm not going to disrespect any ladies. She really was a lovely girl. But you know, her boyfriend, well, there once was a faggot from China whose ass happened to be a male, well, I guess vagina. He loved a kiss. He loved a fist. Oh, that lovely young faggot from China. That girl from Korea, yeah. Yeah, you know, her boyfriend did give her gonorrhea. Her work, she quit. She said, you know, you're a dirty prick. You know what you've done to me? You've gone and ruined my career.
This is Vernon from the Sailors. Hello, you beautiful people out there listening to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ.
Cock to get hard.
as a single, hey, there's no reason why more programs shouldn't be playing Penis Colada.
You think so?
It sounds fabulous.
That's actually a creation of the drummer. That's Hector's, one of Hector's songs. Uh-huh. And it was, he actually envisaged that song to sound a little bit soul. But when we actually started playing it, it was apparent that it was really more like a soulless Devo type song, more than anything else. Yeah, but it is a good, it's one of our favourites.
Great. Philippa was saying that the Penis Colada was the most popular drink upstairs in the Cobra Bar.
Yeah.
The night of that show.
The menu's great up there. She's still got it. You can still order your round of sailor drinks. She's, because they're so popular, I suppose, after the record launch. Well, I don't know how many she sold, but yeah, there's Dr. Creek's prescription. Did you actually come to that record launch?
No. Locked up here in Brisbane.
Yeah.
There's the Happy Seaman shot.
Yeah, so you've obviously seen it.
And the La Cucaracha as well.
Yeah, the La Cucaracha. This big black sort of cockroach, I think, that she, one of those rubber ones that she, like, yeah, she drops it in the drink or something. A little right. Nasty little laughter surprise.
La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha. La cucaracha, la cucaracha, la cucaracha, la cucaracha, la cucaracha, la cucaracha, la cucaracha.
When you're doing shows, hey, there must be people within the audience who, they're not just going there to laugh necessarily, they will be actually getting some positive reinforcement from the band about their sexuality. There would be people within the Melbourne independent music scene who would find it refreshing, gay men, to be able to go and see a band that's going to honestly talk about these issues, even in a manner that's largely around humour.
I would say we have a bit of a cross-section of people who might come and see us. What they get out of it, I'm not really sure, but in terms of, I think people tend to enjoy the fact that we basically feel free to sing whatever.
Yep.
And there are people who say, yeah, but that's good, but there's some music there as well, and enjoy that. I don't know if I'd really want to go into it much more than that.
Sure. There's a reference when you've been interviewed to the music being like heteromo.
Heteromo, perhaps. Yeah.
So do you think there's much of a heterosexual element to the band?
Look, I think that people of both sexual preferences will find themselves in situations which are extremely humorous or completely absurd. And so we will. We have no problem singing about either side, or where those both preferences converge, I suppose. So look, there's both things in there, but both of them can be equally funny at different times. And like I said, there's plenty of absurd circumstances on both sides of the fence. on which to draw on, and we hope that we try and choose the funnier ones, or at least which are funny to us anyway.
Yeah. It's just that I was amazed by people who, like, even after Julian Clary had been doing his work on television for like 5-6 years, someone said to me, "But he's not really gay, is he? Like, he couldn't be. He's just doing that for a show." And you'd have to think, well, how could he not be? But you're not stereotypically anything. And I think it's the look of the band is interesting. Would you define yourself as being the cute one?
Look, that's a good question. I think in terms of reaction, you'd have to definitely go with Hector. But yeah, Vernon probably is the cutest one.
Good.
Have you seen... you'd know what Hector looks like.
No, there are no names under any of these pictures.
Yes. Well, on Violent Masturbation Blues, Hector's the one in the middle.
Okay.
He's our drummer.
Yeah.
And he's got his little way of expressing his vulnerability.
Yeah.
And in that respect, if you call that cute, and how, yeah, that can be cute, but yeah, he probably would have to be the cutest one.
Uh-huh. Of course, Pansy Division managed to do that these days by having a 21-year-old drummer.
Yeah, do they?
And that really helps.
I didn't realise those guys were still playing. But
did they have an influence on you at all, personally?
I'd have to say no. Uh-huh. I've heard some of their music, and you know, from quite a young age, and always found it humorous. But yeah, I think where we probably came from was. Just because we weren't too fussed about annoying people, I suppose, and there's special brands of people out there who are especially vulnerable to being offended by this sort of stuff, and that was probably the original inspiration for trying to do it. But these days, I think you'd have to say that that. We're probably more in the vein these days of just seeing that just because we enjoy it, and because, I mean, this guy's been singing about this stuff for years, you know, really. It's not like it's some modern creation or something like that. And though we may not have found inspiration out of, you know, some of these bands that have gone by the way, and they're a fairly prominent one, but of course there's plenty of others who did a lot better than those guys ever done, I suppose. But, you know, it's not sort of new... Anything
well,
that's too
Tom
new.
Robinson, in fact, like back in the later 70s.
Who's that?
Tom Robinson.
And what song's that?
Oh,
what
well,
sort of music
he, he had a top 40 hit single, I think it was up in the top 10, called 2468. That was a song about picking up young men on motorways.
Awesome. Yeah. It's not all that different. I've just been reading the book about Nick Tosh's that cowboys, niggers, and all this sort of stuff. And like, they're pretty well singing about this sort of stuff, even you know, back in the 40s. Yeah, it's mainly bawdy sort of stuff about minstrels and stuff like that. But there's quite a bit of gay reference and everything in that even then. So, you know, it's been going on for years, and we wouldn't pretend to create it, but we're certainly having a good time annoying people with it at the moment. This is Vernon from the Sailors. Hello, you beautiful people out there listening to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ.
A melting pot of different races. Little kids all lost in mazes, and a dream boat put through its paces. Room full of many faces, unexplored and potential bases. Tie your laces, and as it makes me feel rapacious, 'cause I love the clothes you wear.
What I think is most impressive about the album is how good it sounds. Hey, I was just having a listen to it before on my like mid-70s Sue and Vega 10-inch two-way speakers.
Yeah,
and it really does push. Hey, it sounds great.
Turning the Other Cheek?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a great album, yeah. We're really happy with it. It was recorded at the Tote Hotel, and most of it was recorded there on a Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. We invited Spencer P. Jones and Matt Hayden, who plays keyboards with Spencer P. Jones, and they just turned up late and started playing, and it came out really well. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Hayden, who was played keyboards during those sessions, just said, okay, I want to play with you guys. And so he's been playing with us ever since. And it's sort of, the keyboards are really good, actually. So hopefully when we start playing some more stuff, there might be a little bit more emphasis on that even.
Yeah.
Who knows? See what comes up.
Good. Yeah, because the keyboards do sound lovely on the recording. And you're traditionally, though, a three-piece. It's Victor, Vox and guitar. Yourself, Vox guitar drums.
Yeah,
Hector,
yeah.
And Vox guitar drums.
There's nothing like the Vox. And we've actually got ourselves a new website as well, and it's the sailors.biz.
Yep. Good. I like the way, actually, on your current link from the Dropkick website, dropkick.com.au.
Is it working at the moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. But when you save that page, like I'll save the Sailors page, it lists itself as the Thalers.
Yeah.
It was your own idea again. Yeah.
Some cretin in Sydney actually did that when we went there. Last year sometime.
You didn't like it?
Oh, it's funny. It's
yeah?
Great.
Good.
That was how we were advertised, though, basically. We have been the soldiers as well.
Whoa. Okay, but you prefer to be sailors.
Hell, yeah. Well, we started off as the Creeps, which probably expresses it even better. But you know how many bands are called the Creeps out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the Sailors was the obvious choice. Oh. There were a few others which were thrown up, like the Flaps, and this is well before every band was called the.
Yep. So all the way back in 95.
Yeah, I was big on the Flaps, but yeah, I got canned.
There are ruder words in the world. A friend of mine reckoned that when he was a young child, it took him years actually to realise that the rudest word in the world was not plop. That would be a good name for a band.
The Plops.
Yeah.
An oil tank of blues. He said, little son, we ain't got no belts in stock, at least none that will stop a Russian man's robbing red cock. You'll have to protect yourself way out beyond the continental shelf. And I'll take a blues. Woo!
The first single that came out, the first recorded bit of material, was Teenage Homosexual Blues.
Yeah.
So do people treasure their copies of that single?
You can still find it. Right. I think it was reissued. I'm not sure, but you can get it. It's a great little single, I think. Especially, I mean, the Teenage Homosexual Blues is definitely the highlight, and that's a little song about Hector the drummer, self-penned, and it's entirely autobiographical.
Great. So do you encourage people now, if people are racing out, hearing this interview and hearing the music that we'll play with it as well, and they've raced out to buy a copy of Turning the Other Cheek from the local record shop, because they should be able to get this sent up by Dropkick, then are they welcome to send them a fan mail and communicate with you guys?
Of course.
Yep.
There's got to be some people out there listening to this stuff.
It was suggested in one interview, they reckon, that you couldn't understand that, say, Triple J aren't picking this music up and playing more of it.
Who said?
But, yeah, Triple Z certainly should be doing it. Is there anything you would particularly like to have our listeners know about you, about the band?
About the Sailors?
Yeah.
Not particularly. We're fairly private individuals, actually.
Okay.
We try not to express our feelings too much, express opinions about things, or try to dictate terms in any way. You'd hear that, wouldn't you, surely, in the music?
Yeah. Yeah, it's opinionated, that's for sure. But what you would expect to get out of that is, well, I choose to either take notice of these people or not. Yeah.
Yeah, and people generally choose one way or the other.
Yep.
Yeah, we're playing with Slater Kinney next week, which should be fun too.
Lovely.
You know, in a couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah. Are they the sort of band that you think that you should be supporting? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I think you'd be surprised. Well, I think they might be surprised.
Yeah, the audience certainly will be.
That'll be the best part.
Where are you playing?
The Corner Hotel in Richmond.
Hopefully all the reviewers get there early and make sure they see you as well.
If you actually look at the street press in Melbourne, you'll tend to find that there's not been one single live review of the Sailors in our history. I'm not sure why. A few record reviews and everything like that. But there's definitely been an uncanny silence in that respect. Who knows? Hopefully, perhaps the first time. Yeah. We shall see.
Okay, and you're not saying that that's because you play really badly live. It's just that people are dumbfounded, maybe, by what they get.
Who knows? we actually play a really good live show.
Good. Yeah. And the fact that this recording has been done, nearly all of it live, virtually live, is testament to that as well.
Yeah.
So.
But we do tend to play extremes of shows, like good and then sometimes just absolutely terrible, which suits us really, because it's the old story about the extremes, I suppose. Probably works out better most of the time.
Lovely stuff.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling, Vernon.
Yeah, okay, John.
And give my love to Philippa and regards to the rest of the band, please.
I will. I see Philippa quite a bit, so I'll do that. And no problem, that'd be great. Thanks for that.
Pleasure. Have a good night.
This is Vernon from the Sailors. Hello, you beautiful people out there listening to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ.